as of right now. He said, but we need janitors. He said, we need janitors. So the guy goes in and humbled himself. God sent him there, right? God sent you here, right? Hallelujah. And he goes in and he just submits to the Lord and begins to serve the Lord in the bathroom. That's a service. He begins to serve the Lord in the bathroom, and all of a sudden while he's in there, Richard, the gifts of the Spirit begin to come on him and begin to work. And people begin to go in the bathroom and people's laid out in the Spirit and getting words and everything. And how many knows the Bible says that your gift will make room for you? It didn't say if you're in the right place doing the thing, right thing that you think you need to be doing. And you know what, praise God, people started signing up for the bathroom ministry. That is a true story, hallelujah. One man says, okay, I might be a prophet. I might not can see how I could be used there. That might not be my preference, but he just submitted to God. And God began to cause that ministry to work right there, hallelujah. Always be humble to the Lord, hallelujah. You know, to allow God to use you, you know. And I remember one time they come to me, and after I knew that I was an evangelist, and they came to me and at my church, and they wanted me to teach the youth, you know. And I told Brother Wade, I said, I'm not a youth teacher. I said, I'm an evangelist, man. I said, I know God's called me to evangelize and everything. I said, but you know, I said, I will pray about it. How many knows I really didn't have to pray about that? And so I went back that Wednesday night, and I said, God said just to help you, whatever you need. How many knows I wasn't taught, but all I knew, I did know that there was a helps ministry in the Bible, and I was operating in that helps ministry. Well, you know what? The anointing came on me and everything till the youth wanted to get rid of him, and I said, that's not God. But what was happening, see, is the anointing was on my humility, my humbling myself to the Lord and willing to go in there and just do whatever I needed to do to help the church. How many knows that's God when that's in your heart to serve like that? Hallelujah. So, you know, I mean, you can't live in a world where you say, well, I ain't got time. You can't do all of that. You just got to say, God, whatever you want me to do, make commitments to the Lord that you'll follow him. Don't think about it. Don't lean to your own. And then let him work out all the details that needs to be worked out for you to do what you feel like God wants you to do. If you'll do that, you will see the supernatural. If your job's in the way of the will of God and you know it's the will of God, I'm telling you, he'll move mountains and he may give you your own business. So you make your own hours. Hallelujah. That's not my message today. But that's good stuff, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. I know you're believing this morning. The presence of the Lord is in the place. And if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be Give God Thanks. You know, and I'm going to go a little deeper than just, I mean, it's not just going around saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's okay. But how many knows giving thanks is an expression of faith and gratitude for the Lord, to the Lord, towards the Lord, that you are thankful that he saved you. You're thankful. I mean, and some people, I'm getting older, and I'm not looking. Somebody asked me here a while back, they said, are you going to retire from pastor? And I said, you can't retire from the ministry. I said, the Bible says the call of God is not without repentance. I said, how can I do that? If my call is eternal, and it is, your callings are eternal, your redemption is eternal, right? Hallelujah. I mean, victory that's put on you by the Word, it's eternal. That's why it don't die out. That's why it don't get weaker. The visions you have. Well, I mean, I'm getting older, and I thought, glory to God, I'm going to retire and give Travis the garage door business. Glory to God. But I'm going to gear up. We love to be having more services because I don't like sitting at home. Amen. Hallelujah. We may be having more services all week when I do it. I'll be like sitting on, glory to God, give me ministry, God. Oh, give me some. Well, I'm thankful to the Lord that I have that God-given desire, you know, for the kingdom, hallelujah, that gives me purpose after garage doors, purpose after you retire, purpose after you start drawing your Social Security. Come on, somebody, we can serve God. And we're not bound to our Social Security later. We're bound to this kingdom that cannot be shaken. So we need to continually begin to give God thanks. You know what? I started looking on my news feeds and turning them off. And I thought, God, this world is trying to get me to fear and trying to get me to think about this and that. The Muslims are calling me. They want to sell me life insurance. I was getting mad, but God told me, he said, why don't you preach to them? I thought, wow, never thought about that. So I'm trying to win them to Jesus. They tell me there ain't but one God. I said, yes, there is but one God. They thinking their God. I'm thinking our God. I said, yes, there's only one God. I said, do you know Jesus? Oh, we know Jesus. Yes, I know Jesus. He said we can't talk about, what'd he say? Religion. I said, oh, no. I said, I'm not talking about religion. Boy, this is happening often now. I'm just got a pulpit up there at my shop. I got a pulpit busting wood. Because in business, you know, you want to answer the phone. You know, so it's kind of hard just to not answer. Some of y'all, you don't have to. That's fine. You know. And so I said, oh, I'm not talking about religion. I said, Jesus is not religion. He said, oh, no, he was a man. I said, yes, he was the Son of Man. Oh, no, he was a prophet. I said, oh, no. I said, see, this is, I said, we're talking about life insurance here. I said, Jesus, I said, there is but one way to this one God. I said, in his name is Jesus Christ, hallelujah. There's no way to this one God, the only God. I said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I said, this God here, I said, now you're trying to sell me life insurance. I said, and my life insurance is eternal. I said, I'm never going to die. One hung up on me later, I said that. Clink. This dude ain't never going to die, man. He's probably thinking, he serves Jesus. He thinks he's going to live forever. And we are. How many knows we are? Hallelujah. I mean, when this life is over, Pat, bless God, we don't need to mourn for people that's born again and going on to see Jesus Christ. Some people are, their kin folks have died and they knew Jesus, you know, and they're sad. They're sad for 15 years, every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, and they're sad and they're discouraged and all of that. When the Bible says for us not to mourn like the world mourns, it's like we have no hope. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm rejoicing today. If I had the faith to bring my mama back, I would not bring her back. She would murder us in the flesh. If we brought her back here, she would totally get us. I mean, she would, or your kinfolk would get you. They would be like, what are you? I knew you were carnal when I was down here, but I thought surely you would get in faith and believe that I was out of here and I was in glory. I'm thankful to the Lord today for the vision that the Bible says, O death, where is thy victory? The only sting of death is sin. That's what the Scripture says. That's why I confess over myself all the time, giving thanks be unto God, which always gives me the victory over sin. Right? Amen? The Bible says that sin shall have no dominion over me and you. Now, me and you might be a long way from being perfected out of the things in the flesh that we want rid of, but bless God, he's already paid a way for us to be rid of all of it. It says that sin shall not. See, you gotta thank God that sin don't have dominion over you. You need to be thank you, Lord. Your word says sin shall not have dominion. Does that mean that I'm perfect? No, Mac. Does that mean that I'm already perfected. No, Mac, that don't mean that. But if I'm going to stand in faith and I'm going to walk on into the victory that is already won, I got to believe that in spite of what I'm doing. And not let Satan condemn me and get me stuck in what's the use and I'll never change and it'll never happen. Oh, thanks be unto God that always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Satan has lost most of his power in my life. The last one he could use was the church. Because the man I get the victory over my wife. I'm not talking about dominion over her. I mean, there's some of y'all women, it takes God's grace to put up with y'all. But us men, that's why I tell Teresa, you did finally help God make a man out of me. I'm not scared of her, Matt. But you know what? I used to go back and when I told the Lord, I would not trade my married life that I'm married to that woman right now for not no amount of money on this planet. I told her this morning, I said, baby, well, I didn't say baby. I walked in there and I said, hey. She said, yeah. I said, you are my trophy. I said, I've got a big trophy. And I thought, that's all I'm going to say. I walked back out of the kitchen. I really wasn't saying pounds, but. And she's looking at me like, what are you saying? Because I just come right out of the blue, you know, around the corner and spit that out, you know. So she's thinking, what trophy are you talking about? Well, you know what? God is making examples of faith and victory out of me and you. I'm going to say that again. God is making examples of victory out of me and you. But God, you ain't got a house. I can tell you, I got one through faith through him. And you look and say, whoo, right there is my evidence. If Brother Scotty said he couldn't afford a house and all of that, but God, and he heard, Lord, out of the Bible, Teresa taught a real good Sunday school lesson about not pulling scriptures out to get your own desires. You wait on the Lord, you let the Lord speak to you, and then you be like a bulldog when God speaks something to you that you know is God, not something you pulled out of your head you want because you're inquiring of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're wanting the will of God, and he's waiting on you to get into that place in every situation where you acknowledge him and you say, direct me, God, and I'm waiting on you. And then he gives you direction, and then there ain't no devil, there ain't no church, there ain't no pastors, there ain't no teacher, there ain't nobody can get in the way of that vision, but you letting it go is the only thing that can stop that God has spoke to you. And then people will look. Somebody told me the other day, I've been in the food ministry now for 15 years or whatever. We've been doing that food ministry. And there's times when they sent me letters at the one before this one and told me, you're done. You're not getting any more. That was before some of y'all got here. I get it out of the post office. I go out there. Now, that is discouraging to a body of believers that loves feeding the hungry, that they know they're called by the Lord to do it. Right? Did he give us the direction? Well, I sat there and I looked at that and I wadded it up and I threw it over there. There's when you have your opportunity to let the Lord make an example out of you. You're maybe not sitting there realizing it right then, but God is saying, what you going to do with this negative report? Are you going to believe this, or are you going to believe that I said that you're healed? Are you going to believe that I said that your marriage will work out? Are you going to believe that I said that your kids will come into full circle of your believing me based on my word? Are you going to, and I wadded it up and I said out loud, I said, devil, I'm giving you notice right now in the name of Jesus. I will not be cut off over there. I resist you in the name of Jesus. And then I turned to the Lord and I said, thank you, Lord. Lord, you said you would supply all of our needs. I'm not going by this report. I'm not waiting. I'm going back over there next month. I never got cut off from that ministry. Never. And then when the Lord opened this one up, I was glad to get out of that one. Because he brought me over to a place, praise the Lord, to where we get it. We don't have to go through it. We don't have to do all of that. And now the lady that we did the job for Thursday, Friday, was the husband when I went over there and I was teaching him the principles of faith. Because he was, I don't know if we're going to be able to have food now. I said, oh, you've got to. Why is that? I said, because I'm standing on Luke 6:38. The food's got to come in here. And he said, oh, well, I mean, I know that scripture, but I've never looked at it like that before. And I looked at him and I said, I want you to know something. You are not my supply. You are not this church's supply. God said he would supply all of my needs according to his riches. I said, you get because I believe. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I looked at him and he said, well, I mean, I have to cut. I said, listen, if you cut ministries back, I know we are the biggest financial giver at this place. I said, because the Lord told us what to give. I said, I'm not buying this food from you. I said, God said to send an offering to this ministry the first of the month. I said, and you get it, and we don't get the food till the 15th or later. I said, I'm not buying this food. I said, this food right here is not bought. I believe for this food. And now we're rewarding you and doing obeying the Lord. I said, I know. I said, but if you cut back, any church has to be cut back from this place. I said, you let Faith Way Christian Center be the first that is cut back. And I looked at him and I said, but you won't cut me back. My God! And he's like, hey, man, I went over the next time and he said, hey, reckon I could get all these 28 churches together and you teach them this stuff? I said, no, I'm not anointed for that. I'm just up here to make sure we all supplied. Yeah. I said, no, I'm not. I said, God would have to tell me to do that. I said, you would make me look like a bad guy because I go up there with no anointing, you trying to get them to believe and take pressure off of you like I did you, and then they're not going to listen. I said, then I'm the bad pastor. I said, I'm not coming. Well, I went up to the wife years later. He's dead now. Another guy's took it over. Y'all remember the rat deal? I mean, Mac, I would have thought he was a woman. Yeah. He's standing there, and I mean, a full-grown gopher comes out. It looked like an oversized fat chihuahua. Huge. It was huge, wasn't it, Mac? I mean, his hair really changed covers. Colors. Ha! And I looked over there and heard that rat. Well, I called him up there and I said, hey. I said, I went up there and I told her, we're going to do something about these rats, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, well, she went through all the, she's dead now. This woman's dead now. We're outliving all of them. Long, satisfied life. Don't you believe it? Long, satisfied life has he given us, and he's going to show us that his salvation is real. Well, they go up there, and they're like, well, we can't do nothing about it. I mean, they said, well, it's the grocery stores across the road. All their rats are coming over here. And I told her, I said, that sounds like Eve. I said, you're blaming them about your rats. I said, y'all boarded them in here. I said, they sealed the whole building up where the rats couldn't get out, Johnny. I mean, a rat might go and get a cracker and run out. But, man, I mean, they sealed the building up. Them poor rats were starving in there. No wonder we'd be getting in our drinks and stuff. And so I told her, I said, no, man. I said, you need to get, I said, tell him to get Cook's Pest Control. And I felt like it was the oracles of God coming out of me. Hallelujah. I really did. I felt like it was the oracles of God. Well, we put rat bait out and blah, blah, blah. I said, listen, you're doing all this on your own. Well, now they're over there. And I go back and she said, well, he's not in favor of that. I said, give me his number, would you? So I got back to the house and I called him. I said, listen, man. I said, this is Scotty with Faith Way Christian Center. I felt like I was the Apostle Paul to get rid of these rats. I was under an anointing. Well, you know, I'm having to tell you this story than what happened Thursday. I went on, you know, and he's like, well, you know, I said it three times. I said, well, you didn't hear me.
Well, yeah, I heard you. It said cooks.
I said, but you didn't listen. You heard me three times. Now he's mad at me. He got mad. I said, listen to me, man. I said, that's Jesus' ministry. I said, my church is Jesus' ministry. I said, and Jesus is not in the rat delivering business. I said, I'm not going to keep delivering rats to these people. I said, I don't want to eat out of a box that a rat's been running around in there trying to figure out what it's going to eat for lunch. And then the people are eating out. That's terrible, ain't it? Terrible. Well, anyhow, I told him, I said, Cook's pest control. And then I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your words that come out of my mouth will not return void. Thank you, Lord, that those rats have got to go because I'm not leaving. What you do and say about giving thanks unto God for what you're believing God for or what he's done for you is an expression of your faith and your gratitude to your God. And so anyhow, they're like, well, he can't afford it. So I told him, I called him up and I said, listen to me. I said, I'm going to pay for the initial down payment. I called Cush Control, see how much it's going to cost. And it was $400. And then $100 a month. And I told him, I said, listen, man. I said, I know how to believe God for increase. I said, if you need an extra $100 a month for rats, God is not broke. I told him, God is not a broke God. I said, and we are not a broke people. I said, if we don't have the means to do the will of God, I said, we believe that he will bring us the means to do the will of God. I said, and he backs up his will and our God. We are confident, but God, that them rats are leaving. I ain't heard Max scream at one time. I had a cowboy over there that wants to ride my bull. I'm trying to figure out a way to get him on it. Blake, he's a cowboy. You know, he'd ride that bull, I'm sure, but I ain't going to go over and watch him get hurt. So Monty's going to have to do it. He's over there and he goes, ha, crush. Squishing them rats when they come out of the tree. I'm like, oh my God, that's terrible. Get that out of here. I did want some of those Cheetos in there when you did that, you know. All of the trials that I was having to endure over that and thinking about the people and all of that, I would not let it get me out of faith. You see what I'm saying? You can't let anything or anybody get you out of faith. Not your finances, not your circumstances, not your feelings, not your emotions, not your body, not your neighbor. And then I had Teresa, this is terrible. This is just terrible. And she'd go in the kitchen and come back. Them rats are terrible. One time I started saying, can you shut up? Shut up. I know about the rats. Don't even mention them to me. I know about them. I'm doing my part. The next day, them rats are getting on my nerves. Next day, them rats are getting on my nerves. How many knows that's what Satan? See, your finances ain't getting no better. Oh, you went to church and you heard that and you got out here and it got worse. And it got worse. I mean, the rats got worse the more we believed. But you know what? I went up there. My brother goes over there, kind of got him connected to his church. And he goes up there a week or three or four ago, and I was talking to him the other day, and he said, you know what, man? He said, Randy, that's the one that's over. He said, me and you are the only ones that helps that ministry. Let another man's mouth praise you rather than your own. And when I heard that, I said, God led me. God was good to me. God, I said, I don't even know what happened to make him think that. But God, I'll turn it to God. I glorify the Lord in it. I don't let Satan puff me up and get me to thinking more highly like, oh, I'm a faith man. I am. You better believe I am. I hate unbelief. I've been in it and didn't get nothing. I've been in fear, and it bound me up and tormented me. Hallelujah. I'm a free man. The more that I walk with God and walk in faith and confidence in Him, the freer I get from the dictates of my flesh man. That's the way you are. You're walking freer and freer in your heart serving the Lord. Well, go up there, you know, and I go to his wife, the one that was originally over it, and all that good man, started out on a 16-foot trailer by himself, hauling that food with a vision to carry it to other churches and split a little of it. And then moved up and come on to the place to where he didn't even have to touch it. Had box trucks and people give him forklifts and all of that stuff and money. Didn't have to rent the buildings no more, praise God. Come on up to that overflow in himself, you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then his wife told me yesterday, she said, oh, she said, he really thought a lot of you. I said, I thought a lot of him too. I said, he was precious to me and special to me. Like that, you know. And she said, you are a unique man. Well, she knew all of it. He told her everything. She said, you're a unique man. She said, there ain't many of y'all like you. There's not many like you that I know of. Like that. And I left there and I said, well, God's good to us. God's good to us, Phyllis. He's really good to us. And I left there and I thought about it. I thought, God, you made an example out of me. I know I couldn't do none of that. I know that the way you led me was tough for me, God. It was rough for me. It was pressure on my flesh and all to deal with these issues, God. How many knows the pressures in your life to not deal with issues is God. God is wanting you to rise up and tell that devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I'm getting rid of all religion in my life. I'm going to walk in relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to walk in freedom that He's already liberated me in. And God, I want you to lead my life. I want you to guide my life, God. I don't want to be a faker of anything. I want to be a man or a woman of confidence and trust in you and dedication to you. And Holy Spirit, come help me do it. That's what He does. And so I thought about it. I thought, man, you know, I had to say it and I had to thank God. We've never been decreased in that food ministry. Giving thanks. How many knows giving thanks is an expression of your faith and your gratitude to the Lord? Not just thanking Him when things are favorable. It's easy to thank God when everything is working in your favor. It's easy. But. To have thanks is an expression of your faith when your marriage ain't like it ought to be. Right? When your kids are not like they ought to be. You know by Scripture and in your heart. But it's not a time to just throw them away and say, well, they want to be rebellious. Y'all are not. Y'all are not rebellious. We don't tolerate rebellion here. That's the spirit of witchcraft. We got love and joy and peace and the Holy Spirit that breaks and gives wisdom to us that wants us to rebel against Him. Hallelujah. And so giving thanks when it's unfavorable is an expression of your faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now in the name, I've had to do it for 20-something years concerning this church because sometimes, I mean, I think my place causes me to be more faithful than I am, than I would be. Maybe. But I come in and I'll be like, Granny, she asked me one time, she said, that's Teresa's grandmother. She sat here week after week and month after month. She asked me one day, she said, what is wrong with this church? Why ain't people staying? And I let her go on, you know, just trying to figure it out. I said, there's nothing wrong with this church. I said, there's something wrong with people. I said, God told me to do this and go. I said, so don't let it confuse you. Ain't nothing wrong with this church. It's just people. So that was one of my, it's not now, that was one of my great trials because I had a vision. It's just like these chairs. I told them, we said, put them all out, every one of them. Don't leave a chair. Pray God, they're going to sit on them. And you had some people there say, well, it looks too empty in there. Let's cut the chairs back. Well, what are we going to go do with unbelief or a vision? You go with the vision. So you call this church full. Right? Thank you, Lord. You ought to say it every day. Thank you for my church, Lord. They're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, God. Those lives that may be destroyed, God, we're calling them in. Those that may be bound by Satan, God, we're calling them in. We're calling them in here. You're calling their future in. Because we know if we get them in here and God shows up, the anointing shows up, the presence of the Lord shows up, then we've helped them get in their place with God and their lives will never be the same again. But thank you, God. Not just thinking when things are favorable, but thinking Him when things are unfavorable. That's when you're expressing your greatest faith. Give me that 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58, I think. For He, the Father, has put all things in subjection under Christ. I don't think that's everything. Nope. That's wrong. Just forget that one. I can't preach that. I ain't got no word on that. I mean, I'm like, what? I mean, you just want to fall out and faint. You're like, oh my God, what happened here? I can't preach nothing unless I get His command on it. I got no. I can't see into Scripture without Him. You can't either. Hallelujah. We will experience victory. Everything. That scripture I'm trying to get you to, it says, thanks be, now thanks be unto God, which always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, thank you, Lord. I have victory over this financial problem. Is that it? Yeah, there it is. Whew, I didn't see that. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord. Conquer over sin. Conquer over unbelief. Conquer over fear. Conquer over low self-esteem. Conquer over... I don't feel like I got to fit in with all the pastors to function in my place. You don't have to fit in with... See, we as Christians, we should not have cliques in this place. I don't believe we do, you know. You just hang out with this one and you ain't going to... You don't fellowship with this one and, you know, you just got your little clique. He ain't got no clique. He don't got a click. I can walk around all of you. Yeah. Now if you're over there, oh, nobody knows. I'll be like, I'll see you later. It's not a click. It's that unbelief, and I'm not going to hang around it. Right? You shouldn't either. You shouldn't hang around that nobody knows and all the problems. And I hurt from my head to my toes. I mean, just the other day, they were on there on my news feeds and they was talking about the Muslims over in Texas building all the... And they are. They believe that they're going to conquer the United States of America. They believe that we're going to be under the Sharia law. They believe that they're going to take offices, and you can already see it, 50 or 60 of them in offices here that is against the United States of America, that hates Jesus Christ and God and everything that He is representing of. And they are in Texas and around here and already in places, you know, and all of that. And I thought to myself, I thought, you know what? We better be praising our God that He raises up a deliverer, that spirit don't conquer the United States of America. That spirit has tried to conquer the United States of America the last 8 years. Except one. Whether you agree with Trump or not, I believe he's our David. I believe he is anointed by God. He's for everything that God is for. I don't believe he makes all the right choices. I don't believe he should have said, hang them. Kill them. Death to them. That's how he feels, though. You are trying to defy the goodness of God. You are trying to defy the people that are thinking right, the ones that are paying taxes, and they don't want to pay taxes like we being taxed anymore. They don't care to pay their fair share, but all of this stupid spending that they're doing, that's why just down here on a small level in this church, when those tithes and offerings come in, I can't tell you who tithes and who don't tithe. My wife writes it down, but she never tells me anything. And I never go look and don't want to know, Chris. I just don't want to know. That way Scotty stays free, right, to come and preach the Word of God, that I don't have to know none. But when I go to spend that money in any way, I make sure it's God. I don't take it lightly. And that our money that we send into that government over there, they work for us. That is why you get them ungodly sheriffs out by your vote, not by your Facebook post. You hear me? That's why you get them ungodly mayors out of our cities that is for abortion. It is for taking my money and sharing it, equality. That is not in the Bible. God is not an equal God. God is, if a man don't work, he don't eat. That's just the way it is. It's in the Bible. And people say, well, Brother Scotty, you're getting into politics. No, I ain't. We live out here. We work every day and we pay taxes. I do. I don't know about you. It ain't that I just get paid out of the church. I own my own business and I pay my taxes and I buy license and I try not to be, I try to be all legal in there so that I'm okay with God, His will. I'm supposed to obey the laws of the land. But, you know, we're not supposed to be given to them. And let me tell you something. I could come in here and I could preach to you another gospel slowly but surely and get you to thinking that everybody in this church owes you something, and you will come here with a different attitude than leave here knowing that God has to be your source. And then you will begin to rely on the church to meet your needs, and that is ungodly. Amen. If you depend on me, Mac, you're in trouble. I'm just telling you right now, you're in trouble. But your dependency ain't in me. Now, you have confidence in me. The only reason you will have that confidence because you walk with the Lord is because of my actions and my attitude and my word that you see that are like God. It causes you to want to have that. That's the way this kingdom works. God is making you he's going to make an example out of you of faith and victory. If you want it, you got to go after it. The Bible says it: those that seek, find. Those that knock, doors are open. Those that ask, receive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But thanks be unto God gives us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brother, be firm. He didn't say just lay down and lay around and just let whatever happens, happen. See, they thought I was all arrogant, Johnny, in the rat business. But it wasn't too long up there. I didn't see no rat traps. And I went in there to her and I said, what's going on? Where's all your rat traps? Oh, Brother Scotty, you talked him into it. I said, I didn't. God convinced him. She said, I'm not having to deal with them rats. And then, before you know it, it was another problem. The rats wasn't no problem. The rats was eating them up. God made an example. I told her, I said, all things are possible to them that believe. I believe God can do it. Let's believe Him. Let's believe Him. She said, well, we ain't got this, you know, and I can't, they won't let me use. I said, oh, so I come down here and I'm praying. God said, I want you to just buy it for them. I said, yes, sir. So I go up there and buy one, and I heard her tell them all in there, nobody touches this when God brought it to me. And God give me this pallet thing here. I said, I did it. She said, I was believing God like you told me. So she bypassed me. He just used me to do it. He said, therefore, my beloved, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. You've not got empty eggs. It's not viewed. It is never wasted nor to its purpose. And I'm going to say this because we got to close. We've got to unload the truck, lunch and all that stuff. The key, whenever I started out and God said to start this church, I could not see it happen. This building was terrible. And so I just kept saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, while I look not at the things that are seen. I thank you, Lord, that you're able. You got to do it in your life. You got to, if you owe for your vehicles, you got to believe God to come out of debt. Don't believe to get good credit so you can get $2,000 a month payments. That's terrible. God, if I just had the credit they got. Oh, you just don't know. We just heard one up here got herself in debt, bless God. And I mean, I preach a lot about being debt free. Now, Satan tries to condemn me sometimes. Boy, you're bragging. No, I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, God did it for me. I don't owe no man nothing but to love them. And I can buy you a car and not even have to even think about the bank. The banks, they need me now. I don't need the banks. You don't. You're coming where you don't need the banks. Amen. I mean, y'all, everybody should have said amen. I almost wanted to say it like an old arrogant guy back under. Hey, I was going to trade tractors with him. He said, boy, I don't need the bank. I am the bank. Now, I looked at him and I said, you're not the bank. You might have a lot of money, but you're not the bank. Well, I got up where I lend and not borrow. I believed for it. It's Deuteronomy 28. I believed for it back there, Chris, when I couldn't pay my bills at all. That God said, you said in your word, and I begin to call it. I begin to say it over my life. Thank you, Lord. I owe no man nothing. I'm the head, not the tail. I lend and not borrow. I am above and not beneath God. I thank you, Lord. I'm coming to the place to where I don't go to the bank if I want a truck. I go pay cash for that truck. And Jesus, I couldn't see my way in that window either. That window was so small, I felt like I couldn't get through that window. I thank you, Lord, that I will never, Father, in the rest of my life put one door on the credit that I couldn't see no way of doing that when I started saying it. But I took Romans chapter 4 where it says, and God quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they are. Found the scripture where God said that as he is, so are we in this world. And then I found the will of God in Romans chapter 5 that I'm supposed to be debt free and owe no man nothing. I found that in Romans 8 over there that I'm supposed to be the head. And I begin to stand on that and I begin to call myself blessed. Call yourself blessed. We are the head and not the tail. We are healed according to the word. We call ourselves more than conquerors. You may feel like you are defeated below defeat, but you don't. According to God's word, he has made you more than conquerors. I mean, you can be more than a conqueror. Now he's going to let God tell you, I want you to tell him. I could preach on. I got started. He said, tell him. He said, tell him I'm going to lead them into victory. Did you know Moses was leading them to the promised land? God led them out of bondage. And he said, I can't come up with a plan, Doris, to get you there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you think. I'm sure you don't think like me. I know she don't. She's a woman. Y'all think with the right side and we think with the left. But I told Teresa the other day, I said, I don't know about these scientists. I said, I'm using both sides of mine. I said, so I can figure you out now. I can tell when you're dumb, when you ain't. I'm thinking, well, both sides, because you thought I was stupid back before you got revelation from the Lord. You thought I was dumb as dirt. I said, now you figured out me following the Lord, I'm smart. I said, so I'm using both sides of my brain according to you. If God give me a full brain, why suppress half of it? Now, whether I am or not, I don't know, but I'm going to call it that way. I'm not going to limit myself to a half a brain. Praise the Lord. So call yourself blessed. Stand when you need to stand in faith. I mean, don't be moved, hallelujah. Make up your mind. You're one choice away from victory most of the time. I'm telling you, once you make up your mind to follow God in something, acknowledge God in something, Satan just takes a road and gets out of there. He's like, well, lost that one. Lost that battle. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Father God.